Broadcasting from the Hip Hop Weekly Studios, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Civic Cypher. I am your host, Ramses Ja.
He is Ramses Ja. I am Q Ward, and you are listening to Civic Cypher.
Indeed you are. This week, we're going to be playing catch-up. I promise we haven't been slacking on our duties. There has just been a mountain of news that is coming our way. And trying to pick some things to discuss just felt like we'd be leaving too much on the table. So let's call it gumbo. We're going to be running some stories by you that exist at the local level, state level. We're going to be running some stories by you that exist at the national level. We're going to be talking about stuff with respect to education and initiatives to subjugate and marginalize Black and brown people. We're going to be talking about really a whole lot of everything, because that's what's been going on since we last spoke. We're also going to spend a not insignificant amount of time discussing the GOP / Republican loyalty to the former president. We around here think it's borderline sick. Not, and I don't mean that to say that if you're a conservative voter and that's just your path and your test in life, that, you know, there's a problem there. But to this man in particular,
you're such a graceful
person. I have to be. So we're going to talk about that, what the obsession is and where the loyalty stems from, because we need to know about it. And we feel like if you know about it, you'll be a bit more empowered. I have an idea. Yeah, indeed. We're going to talk about those and so much more on today's show. But first things first, like we always do at this time, we're going to discuss Ebony Excellence. And today's Ebony Excellence is sponsored by Major Threads, and our reading comes from ABC News. And normally I'd be the one reading it to you, but I have to pass the mic to the legend himself, Q Ward, for reasons you'll soon discover.
You know, we got some news this week that was heartbreaking in general.
Sure.
But heartbreaking being the term I'm using very intentionally,
yeah, and purposely,
and very specifically
for yourself,
because the first time that I had heart palpitations, if you will, the first time that my heartstrings were plucked, there was a lady with this really, really big hair and this really, really powerful voice, mm-hmm, and the longest, most amazing legs that I'd ever seen in my 5-year life. And you know, I smile and I laugh because Ramses, you know, passed this to me because he knows my story and my affection for the giant that we lost. And that's Tina Turner, from ABC News. Tina Turner dies at 83, a life well lived. Rolling Stone once named her one of the greatest singers of all time. Born Anna Mae Bullock, November 26, 1939, in Tennessee, Turner began performing at a young age as a teenager. She immersed herself in the local rhythm and blues scene. In 1956, she met Ike Turner from the band Kings of Rhythm and became part of their act under the stage name Tina Turner. Together, they recorded hits in the 1960s, including A Fool in Love, It's Gonna Work Out Fine, I Idolize You, River Deep, Mountain High, as a part of the Ike and Tina Turner Review. In 1971, their cover version of Creedence Clearwater's revival Proud Mary became a hit, and Nutbush City Limit climbed the charts as well. Tina went on to record What's Love Got to Do With It, and just really had an immense impact on the life of so many. She needs so much more time than we had to give her.
Listen,
but
two-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, movie star, on and on. Yeah. So Ebony Excellence, indeed a life well lived. Now, we got a few stories to go through. The story that incensed me the most this week, I suspect it's one of the stories that incensed you.
Those words should be so heavy. The story that incensed me the most, considering some of you know the type of subject matter that we cover every week. Yeah. And then you'll hear all the stories that we're covering this week.
Yeah.
The idea that something stood out amongst those things is saying a lot.
So Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter, for those that don't know, is a conservative media pundit, author, and syndicated columnist. She's a lawyer, and she has 2.1 million followers on Twitter. She is not a nobody in conservative circles. She's been on the news countless times, a very, very far right wing sort of person. And the people on the left that make fun of her affectionately refer to her as like racism in human form, right?
That's a way to put it.
But there's always been this veneer of plausible deniability.
Has there?
I know there hasn't. But they believe that and they stand behind it, which kind of leaves them.
They never did.
Right. Well,
they did stand on it.
That's what I'm trying to say.
They did pretend to believe.
That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you.
Because they felt the same way she does.
You needed to clear that up. Thank you for that, because you're absolutely right. They know better. And I believe she knows exactly who she is and what she means, but she's used coded language. And again, she's a lawyer, so she's not a stupid person. Well, you know what I mean. But she's always been able to be just crafty enough, like many others that are like really far right, just crafty enough to be able to evade significant pushback from her followers and supporters. Mm-hmm. And in other words, she's not using the N-word, which is, you know, anything short of that, people can say, well, I'm not racist. I have a black friend. I'm not racist. I've never used the N-word, and indeed live much of their life supporting racist initiatives and turning a blind eye to others that do the same. So this is Ann Coulter. And as I mentioned, the thing above all else this week that incensed me, this is some rare air for me to be in, right? I know the world that I live in. It is not comfortable. Nobody deserves this. I think that we deserve better, right? I don't think that's saying a lot either, right? But she put a tweet up referring to the NAACP's warning. There's like a travel ban or travel restriction or something in NAACP.
It's more like a travel advisory.
Advisory, that's warning. What I'm looking
for. It's not a restriction. It's not a ban. It's just saying, hey,
steer clear.
If you're going to be traveling at all, maybe Florida shouldn't be at the top of your list, right, as places to visit, as places to frequent, and as a place to go spend money. Because if you've been watching the news at all,
Florida's
the government gunning
for black folks.
Is gunning for everybody not white, it seems.
Well, they have one group.
We'll
get to it. Yeah.
One group that
they're using.
Yeah.
To, again, use that veneer to say, hey, we're not racist. Look at this one group. We're treating these handful of people okay. And they're not white. Everybody else, look, do like them and we'll be fine. Anyway, Ann Coulter, in response to the NAACP's advisory, put a tweet out, and
she's so classy.
It says, NAACP issues warning to African Americans to avoid visiting Florida. Employees in restaurant and tourism industry brace for a 0.00% drop in tips. Okay, now. I need you to talk about this one, but let me set it up for our listeners that don't know about this stereotype. So, among many stereotypes and prejudices and preconceived notions, especially from people who don't regularly interact with many black people, from many different socioeconomic backgrounds and faith traditions and parts of the country, etc. Right? There is a myth that exists that Black people are not good tippers, among many that are very damaging, very harmful, and very negative. But typically, the racism, the prejudice is not out loud. Whereas right here, we have it in a tweet. It's unfounded when you apply it to an entire ethnic group. And she did it for laughs, maybe? I don't understand. So there's the setup. That's why she used these 0.00% drop in tips. She's trying to be cheeky there. Okay. Go ahead, Q.
Tips. I forget, because tips mean something. I think it used to be an acronym. And now it's just a word that we use. Was never intended to be how you got paid. You were supposed to go make a living wage.
Mm-hmm.
And then if your service was extraordinary, people will pay you extra on top of that. I say that because for my entire working life, I won't even say an adult, because I got my first job before I was an adult. I have not been able to hold people in service of me accountable.
Because of that myth.
I've tipped no matter how awful your service was.
20%.
Because as soon as I walk in the door,
you know that exists.
As soon as you're being of service to me,
you know.
I know that there is a chance that you've been schooled in this way.
To think I won't tip you.
That your mind, as soon as you saw me, thought, that guy.
Yeah.
Or those guys.
Yeah.
Or that family.
Yep.
Or that group.
Thank you.
Is it going to tip?
The reason I'm finishing your sentences is because that's the same with me.
And it's not because I wasn't great at my job. It wasn't because I was rude and unattentive and apathetic in the way that I carried on. It's because they're Black and they just don't tip. So I have never been able to, in the way of withholding my tip because the service wasn't great, as a way of encouraging better service, I've never been able to do that.
Right.
Because I never wanted to
be associated with that stereotype.
I never wanted to add credence.
There you go.
I never wanted to justify the feeling that person had.
Sure.
I never wanted to prove anyone right. So if you've ever served me somewhere, you've gotten a really good tip, not always because you were great, but because I refused
to give credence to that.
Feed,
yeah,
that ignorance.
Exactly. Now, I want to say something. The truth is that Black people aren't the only one that this is associated with. This has been associated with a lot of different people throughout the years, notably Jewish people. And it is unfair 100% of the time. But again, to see it out in print like this or in a tweet feels a bit low, even for her. Moving on. You thought that was funny. North Carolina State Representative Jeff McNeely asked North Carolina State Representative Abel Jones, if he was not an athlete or a minority, would he have been able to attend Harvard? So here we have another one where and this one, I actually kind of feel bad about this guy, Jeff McNeely, because a lot of times conservative white men who get their news from two sources that are also deeply conservative, right? If you get your news from a very left-leaning source, then sure. But the fact of the matter is that the truth has a liberal bias to it. The fact of the matter is that the majority of the people in this country have a liberal philosophy about them. The majority of human beings. in their entirety or old enough to vote. And the reason elections are competitive is because of things like gerrymandering, because of things like voter suppression, and because of things like the Electoral College. Exactly. But that doesn't mean that we are a divided country. We are a liberal country. We are a liberal planet, in fact, right? But again, if you're this person and you get your news from this source, then it might appear as though you only know about the myths associated with affirmative action and the myths associated with great replacement and deep state and all these weird things that you might believe are very true. And if you believe them to be true, that ignorance might manifest itself on the North Carolina House of Representatives floor when you ask out loud of your own mouth and then subsequently have to apologize a black representative, Abel Jones, if he was not an athlete or a minority, would he have been able to attend Harvard? I want you to know that when the Representative Abel Jones responded, he said, "When I graduated Harvard, I was in rank number 2. And so he earned his place there. So that feels like another sort of cheap shot that we've had to deal with this past week. But moving on, because there's a few more here. there was a recent story about a group of homeless veterans that were removed from a New York hotel to make room for migrants. And the story made waves through right-wing media. Now, this story has been proven to be false. According to the Mid-Hudson News, homeless men in the area said they were paid to pose as veterans and corroborate the false story to a local chamber of commerce. The men identified the person who bribed them as Sharon Tony Finch. They said she has not paid them the $200 they were promised for their role in the hoax. Okay, so let me back up a bit. For those that maybe you don't find yourself on the Breitbart sites and the, again, these far right borderline, sorry, I can't even say borderline because Q's here.
Please don't.
Bona fide, hateful sites that perpetuate division in this country and attack anything that is even remotely humane. This false story was circulated to suggest that migrants were taking precedence over veterans. Now, mind you, this is the party on the right, Republicans, that have voted to limit funding to the VA for veterans, to and a lot of local elections, and sorry, on the local political arenas around the country, have pushed back against efforts to treat houseless people humanely, and a lot of them are veterans as well, right?
Yeah, they don't actually care.
This is my point.
It's good marketing to pretend you care.
This is my point.
You know, just like, you know, we noticed with the Blue Lives Matter movement, a lot of those people have moved to defund now as the slogan that they cry out, because, you know, do everything exactly the way I want you to do it or you have no worth. It's kind of the subscription that they have subscribed to. And they pretend to honor, love, respect, and care about our veterans, but there's no proof. Like, there's zero proof. There's no statistics to back that as an idea.
And you know who is actually,
or politically,
you know who is actually trying to push initiatives that actually do help benefit and fund the VA and benefit our veterans? Democrats. But who has the narrative? At least to their...
even to fund law enforcement.
Oof, yeah, that too. But who has the narrative, at least with their base, their voter base, the Republican.
Yeah, I wish their base...
got news from other sources.
I wish their base actually cared.
Or cared.
It doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. Once upon a time, they would have needed to get some unbiased, unslanted news.
Sure.
Beyond the point now where that matters. They, even when the real news reported by them is awful, it's cool.
Yeah. We'll get to that in the second part of the show. All right, moving on. Florida. Here we go again. Florida now requires schools to teach AAPI history. How about that? AAPI, Asian American.
Florida?
Florida.
The state that just made it illegal to teach African American history?
Indeed. How about that, right?
Why would they do such a thing, Ramsey?
Well, real quick, AAPI, for those that don't know, stands for Asian American and Pacific Islander, right? So that is a very specific and indeed very small, in terms of the numbers, minority group in this country, right? Now, Florida wants their history to be taught, which in and of itself, we both would say, and I believe everyone should say, is amazing, right? But the reason Florida is doing this, I'll explain. What they're trying to do is push the model minority myth. For those that are unfamiliar, Asian Americans are purported to be the model minority in the United States of America, right? Everyone should be like the Asians, right? Now, everyone does not have the history that Asian folks do. Everyone does not have the constant opposition that Asian people have. Not to say that Asian people have not had their fair share of opposition, but indeed there's a longer history here with African American people, and the legacy of that history has profound implications even to this day. Plus, there are a lot more Black people in this country, and this country interacts with Black people differently. We love our AAPI brothers and sisters, and we always will. So this is never going to be a conversation of us versus them, because we're, as far as I'm concerned, we're always on the same team. This is also an attempt to keep the racialized structure stable. Asians are used to triangulate and wedge a group between Black people and white people, right? And really the state and the government and these far-right Republicans.
Gives them someone to point to so that they can claim
there you go.
That they're not racist.
There you go. What I have written says the same thing. It says to avoid accountability so that they can say that they aren't racist. We're not racist. Look at this group. We want their history taught, right? So that's another thing that's happening. And then these last couple of things I really need to share with you. Florida State Bill 1718 was a pushback on immigration. I implore you to look it up. But now Kansas is following Florida. Okay? So Kansas House Bill, HB 2350, attacks immigration. So Kansas governor vetoed this bill, but their House legislature passed it anyway by overriding the veto. It goes into effect July 1st. And it makes it a level 5 felony to transport someone who's in the U.S. illegally.
This is just racist nationalism for the sake of it.
All the way out loud.
Kansas isn't a border state.
On top of that, Kansas, what do they do in Kansas? They farm, agriculture. So I don't know what they're going to do to keep that economy going or whatever they export from that place. But you need to know about this because... We also stand with, I'm from California, so I grew up with Mexican people from Mexico and from California. My children are half Mexican. Q's children are half Mexican, so this will always be a plight that's near and dear to both of our hearts.
Get this last thing in about Texas.
University of Texas system is trying to ban educators from using the word racism. Up to and including jail time. There's even a hotline people can use to snitch on educators. They're planning on using $6 million to implement and enforce this policy. Now, what does that remind you of? Fascism. And it's not just the University of Texas. It's not just Kansas. It's not just Florida. You need to be aware And hopefully we've made you a little bit more aware.